mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the Gospel reading for today, Luke the 10th, the following words. Jesus was at the home of Mary and Martha, and this is what happened there. Martha came to the Lord and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it shall not be taken away from her." This is the text. Given a choice, my dear brother and sister, between house chores and listening to a sermon, choose the latter. It's always the right thing to do. Martha learns it the hard way here, a very stern teaching of our Lord, that eternal life is the only thing that counts, and the rest kind of falls into place by itself without our worrying about it. In all fairness, I must say, I empathize a little bit with Martha, because in the beginning of our reading it says, as they were on their way, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die for us. They who? Jesus and the 12 disciples. So the whole lot lands on poor Mary and Martha's home, and Martha is preparing portions for them. And she is running around and cutting the broccoli and the meat and the potatoes and the rice and whatever. And she comes to Jesus. You can picture her fists in her hips and saying, "What's with this? Can't you tell her to help me?" And Jesus said, "Martha, you're worried about many things, but there is one thing that is needful. One thing only. Mary has chosen the good portion." Rabbis don't make house calls. Not until today. They can come up to the threshold of the house. They go and they have to cleanse the house after the birth of a child. And so forth. There are many, many different ceremonies that bring rabbis out to the threshold, but not inside the home. However, the rabbi Jesus does make house calls. He went, remember, to the centurion's house. He said, "Just say the word, you don't have to come." Well, Jesus didn't go, but he said, "I'm not worthy that you would." The average Jew does not feel themselves worthy of a visit of a master, a teacher, a rabbi. But Jairus said, "Lord, come and put your hand on my little girl. She is so sick." And while he was still talking, somebody said, "Don't bother the teacher any longer. Your daughter has died." And Jesus comforts Jairus and said, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." How often are you and I afraid of situations in life when all we have to do is to believe that he who died for us is not going to skimp on the smaller blessings that we so direly need in this life? We can trust that he will take care of us in good times and in bad. Jesus also went to Simon's house, a prominent man, synagogue leader himself. He went to little Zacchaeus' house, remember? Today there is salvation. Come to this home. Jesus is a different rabbi. He makes house calls. He goes and mingles with the people. It's an unusual visit to go into women's home where there were not even men present. That is unusual, but not for Jesus. He goes and brings salvation to everyone. Jesus is the one that valued women above all the cultural setting of the time. Women were always considered more of a background type of character, a person that had specific duties, but in the home, never in the public square. That's where the men appeared and showed off and strut their stuff. But the women were always held back in the background. Jesus came and changed all of that. He was born of a woman. His body was in a woman's body for 9 months. He changed it by expelling demons from women, one that had a discharge, and another, Mary Magdalene, who had 7 demons, and who knows what they all did to her. Common knowledge says that she was a prostitute. There is no proof to that. But people believe that those 7 demons did her in. Jesus freed this woman, and she is the one to whom Jesus appears first after his resurrection. Not to the disciples, not to King Herod, not to Pontius Pilate, who had authorized his crucifixion. He appeared to a woman right outside of his tomb, Mary Magdalene. Now he is visiting with these two. I looked this up, and I'm not making this up. There are 2 terms here that are very fundamental for our lesson. One is meridei, portions or helpings or servings, as in food. And merida, portion, helping, serving, singular. What Jesus is saying, Martha, Martha, you are worried with all these dishes. You are worried with all these portions of meat and potatoes and salads and so forth. But all of your portions don't hold a candle to the portion that Mary picked. She just picked 1 serving. She helped herself to 1 helping. A meal. But it was a spiritual meal. One not whipped up in any kitchen, but one that came out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God. That, amigos, is your portion here tonight. You chose this portion. All the other portions in the rest of the days of the week are important and have their place. But you reserve time for the portion for your helping of the Word of God. This is your portion, the Lord Jesus, who gives you eternal life. Another lesson that we learn here that Martha forgot is wherever Jesus is, he is always the host, not the guest. Why? Because you and I have nothing to offer him who is the King of the universe. He has it all. And wherever he is, we do well in just shutting up and letting him speak and listen to his word and receive his gifts. Once we have received his gifts, now we are prepared and ready and enabled to give and to serve portions to others. So we come and we receive his gifts of word. Your sins are forgiven. God is merciful. He has given you salvation. The Word of God, another portion. The sacrament, a portion. A spiritual food that feeds the soul for eternity. That is what Jesus does. And Mary, poor little Mary, had her liturgy correct. Liturgy is Greek for the work of the people. What do the people do? Oh, first they sing a hymn, and then they confess their sins. Then they say the introit together. Then they have a hymn of praise, and then comes the prayer of the day, which the collect that collects the thoughts of all the readings, and then the readings of the Word of God. That's the liturgy. What comes first? What comes second? Mary got her liturgy correct. First, let's listen to Jesus. He is dishing it out. I'm eating it. She was receiving from the Master what he had to give her. Yes, you do have your liturgy correctly too. Because I know you week after week after week. You're here. I know each and every one of you. As we gather, we receive the gifts of Christ first. Then we are enabled to give them away to the rest of the world. And what a gracious God we have. To every 7 days come, open his treasure chest and just throw out all the gifts that we need for body and for soul. There is no problem that he ignores or that is not, has nothing to do with him. He solves each and every one's problem. He acquires them all onto his own shoulders. So unless we first receive the gifts of God, we really have nothing to give. But if you look at the list of work that is being done in this our congregation as reported every month in the Messenger and in other publications, you see that we are receiving first because we are handing out loads and loads of portions to the world. Not the least of which is for the body, but with the portions that we give, like the canoe full of food, we also dish out that Jesus loves them. That's as simple as it gets. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us now stand and pray.